loves the way that Jesus came. He proved his love for me when he died on Calvary. He gave his life for fallen. Wants to love you, there is not above you. You are precious in his sight. He will never fail you when the doubts assail you. He'll be with you day and night. His love is a boundless love, and it reaches down. Touches me. His love is an endless love that will last for all eternity. His love is a boundless love, and it reaches down and touches me.
He is coming back. How many of you still believe in that? He's coming back. I do. I've been waiting for the last 50 years for his, or is it 40? I wasn't too anxious for him to come back before I became saved. I actually didn't want him to come back. I knew what the score would be. Anyways, for those of you who are keeping track of what's going on in the political realm, I was watching something very interesting in Congress in the States, and this guy, this Republican, got up and read from the Bible why God is going to judge the nation if they don't repent. And he was talking about, he was reading the scripture of the morality scriptures and all that, and I was thinking, wow, what's going to happen here? And he went on. They tried to stop him once, but the speaker refused and said, keep on going, as if to say, we need this. And then Little Fat Nadler, anybody who knows him, Little Fat Nadler, he got up and said, what any religion describes as God's will is no concern to this Congress. That guy signed his death warrant, and I believe it's not going to be far hence. So he's an anti-Christ, he's an anti-God. He sees the garbage that's going on, but he is not interested in God's plan. How many of you know what's going on with Mr. Cuomo, the governor of New York? The governor of New York, Mr. Cuomo. Well, here's what's happening. All the wolves are starting to tear at him. He's getting ready to fall, and he is part of the deep state. And if you know what the deep state means, if one domino goes down, he takes the rest with him. So we're going to watch this with interest as these things will proceed. Unbelievable stuff is coming out on the news. You cannot even bear to listen to it anymore. The pedophilia that's going on, the selling of baby parts and it's unbelievable what God is exposing. The corruption, and we're just sitting there. It's not that it didn't happen throughout the histories. The only difference is God has made it available for us to make us understand and see what he's been seeing throughout history. Evil ebbs and flows, like during World War II, it was horrifying. 6 million Jews plus other people were killed in death camps. And it was put down by the Spirit and the power of God. And now it started to raise its head again. One new world order, a one world government. And God is pushing it back again. At the same time exposing the evil that is out there. The big difference now between World War II and now is we each have a handphone. And can we watch the evil as it happens. And we ask ourselves, how on earth can God look at this and allow America and Canada to go on? Well, the message I have for today will explain how we can do it and why it's going on. The Lord is willing that none perish. He is faithful and easy. He's a merciful God. So he is going to do some very interesting work here in the next couple of months that will shake the world and shake people's conscience, that they will begin to understand God means business. The devil is an evil person. He is out to steal, kill, and destroy, and he will destroy anyone who is not in tune with God if they do not watch it. So even for those who are with God, God is warning us, be careful, watch yourself, keep your eyes on me, or he will bring you into snares and tribulations. So God is there with this corona stuff that we're seeing. We can see the hypocrisy of it. I tell everybody, guys, everybody should wear a mask. It represents a stolen election in the States. That's what I see it as. That's what I believe why people are wearing masks. On the other hand, some people think they're in control. They're not in control. They're just doing this. God is opening people's hearts, minds and ears and eyes. What I've been trying to tell you up till now is a serious situation. So start paying attention, especially the church. What I'm beginning to hear and understand, many of the churches in America are involved in the deep state, in pedophilia. The Catholic system, that has been known for years and years. But now it's coming out that many of the Protestant churches are also involved in all of this terrible sin called abortion and all of that stuff. We're going to see it. It's going to blow your mind. Don't bury your head in the sand. God wants you to you alert. He wants you to pray. Never mind, I don't want nothing to do with this. I'd rather not be on watch TV. I'd rather not know what is going on. No, you need to know what's going on. Because if you don't know what's going on, you are going AWOL. It's called you're leaving the battle. You don't want nothing to do with it. And God is going to deal with you if you even do it. So we need to understand this. God is not mocked. Whatsoever people sow, they will also reap. So before we get into this message today, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. And we ask you, Lord, that you'll open our hearts to your truth, to your revelations, that we may understand. I ask you to anoint this message, O Lord. You will bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. When I see what's going on, for those of you who've listened, like the latest one, Ravi Zacharias, few others that we don't know the names of, they're being exposed. It's unbelievable. God is starting to show the corruption. And people are wondering, what did we allow ourselves to get into? Are we really Christians? Do we have God? And this is the danger of listening, of seeking out your salvation through preachers and teachers. Seek out your salvation from the Word of God and from God Himself. Let Him explain it to you. Let Him show you. It's good to listen to a preacher, but be careful. Unless you know him from your youth on, then you're okay, because he's trustworthy. But you know, it's a warning. Every person is fallible. We can fail, we can fall. And we shouldn't depend on people so that we do not come discouraged. We should have our hope in this mighty God who is our Savior. And then we can stand strong. This is why you see the confusion. Everywhere, every person that's wearing a mask out there today, I personally believe don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I personally believe those who insist on a mask don't know Jesus. Why? Because they don't understand what's going on. They're simply blind and deaf. They have no idea. So it tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 30 in verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, what? Choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Is it choosing life with all the abortion our government is into? They say it says in Romans chapter 13, you shall obey your government. But if your government kills millions of babies, is that a command to follow him, to listen to him? There's something wrong. God wants to expose that government and those people, the Doctors Association or whatever you want to call it. It says, I have set blessings and cursing before you. Choose what? Choose life, especially when it comes to your salvation. Choose life. God wants you in heaven. He wants you to know that He is God. There is no other God beside me, and that is it. And there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Religion's got it backward. We got to work ourselves into heaven. No, it's the grace of God, the goodness of God that leads us into life. Before I became a Christian, I saw the wrath of God on a daily basis. I knew that hell was real, and I was driven farther away from God. But one day I saw the goodness of God, the beauty of God. Come on to me, those who are laboring and are heavily laden. Take my yoke upon you. When I saw that he was going to give me life, I was drawn to him. I was attracted to him, and he did give me life. So it wasn't the wrath of God. It was the goodness of God that finally made the difference in my life. Hallelujah. Now I can see why the wrath of God is there. It's a warning for those who reject the goodness of God. Don't reject the goodness of God, because there is a wrath coming. Have a personal relationship with Jesus. Don't, never mind this favorite preacher of yours that you listen to once a week or twice a week on radio or TV. Have a relationship with God yourself, and He will give you insight and information and revelation. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 30, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days. He's the one that determines thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. So we are descendants of that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he's telling us, I'm giving you this land. I was thinking about the Russians. The Russians were in terrible crisis for years and years and years. They didn't take serious the Word of God. the church failed. It didn't come to the rescue. And then communism took over. And I remember China since 1952 or 53 or whatever it is. It's been a communist country. Terrible, terrible killing of Christians throughout their histories. And I've studied a little bit on China before they became a communism. They were into all sorts of anti-godly things. There's a guy by the name of, Baker. He was a missionary. They were using children to mine the copper mines. And when the kids couldn't do it anymore, they just threw them out. And this Baker guy, this missionary, took them unto himself and made missionaries out of them. They went throughout China so that China would change their ways. No, they didn't change their ways. Then God had to allow communism to take over, and they're still as sinful and deep into the demonic as they were when they started. The Bible is warning. We need to watch. We need to open our hearts. We got all the information today. There's no excuse for us. We did not know. Why aren't you on your knees? Because we did not know. No, you know. We know. It's on our phones. It's on our TVs. We know what's going on. We cannot escape that anymore. It's too late for us. God has shown us the horrible degeneration that is going on. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, in verse 11, it says, "For this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee." Listen, it's not hidden from us. "Neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up to heaven to bring it to us, and that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it." That's the question. Are we doing that today? Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 14. "But the word is very nigh unto thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil." There's two choices people have to make. If you're going to be nonchalant about it, guess what's going to happen? If you're not going to be on guard, you're going to be taken in by Satan. Satan loves people who are just nonchalant. He can ride over them like a four-wheeler over an ant. It's as easy as that for him. But if you're on guard, if you know this God, if you stand in the gap for your children, Satan is kept at bay. The very presence that you have when you accept Jesus is enough to make Satan tremble. Why? Because it's the power of the Holy Ghost in you that he sees. He doesn't see you. He sees God, and he knows his limits with God. Once a Christian, once a person becomes a Christ one, there is a difference. Satan knows it, and he respects it. The only difference is if you're ignorant or if you're arrogant. That can be a problem too. But if you're ignorant, he knows that you don't know the power of God, and he can walk over you at his wish. So set yourself today, this life before you. God has it in the word. He has it in everyday living. Look at the principles of God. Look at the way he operates. He wants you to operate righteously. He wants us to live holy before him. Listen to Psalms 107, verse 17. "Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted." Very, very interesting. Fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. I was listening to a guy on YouTube, and something caught my eye when I saw him on there. I switched him on, and he said, "There is no such a thing as once saved and always saved." And that caught my attention. I got to listen to this person. And he was very adamant about it. And here is what he said. When I was 14, accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I lived a godly life, almost into my adult years. Then I slowly drifted away into drugs, into alcohol, into all kinds of perversion. I finally went to this church and asked for help. And they said, yes, we can help you, but it'll cost you $500 a month. He said, I cursed that pastor out, and I walked outside, and I cursed God. And I said, God, I'm going to sin more than any other person has sinned. And I was thinking in myself, who do you think you're going to dethrone by doing that? He said, I took the Bible and I ripped the page out where it says John 3:16, and I put my dope in there and I smoked it just to defy God. And one day he had a heart attack and he found himself in hell. And that's when the demons were clutching at him. And that's when he remembered God and he screamed out, God, help me. And Jesus reached out his hand and brought him back. That's his story. And God said, why should I help you? And he repented. He said, I don't deserve your forgiveness. I deserve everything that you have thrown, want to throw against me. And God said, I'm a merciful God. I will have mercy with you. But go back and tell people about that horrible place. You know, God saw him and brought him back. You may say, oh, nobody ever comes back from hell. And I will tell you, then go read the book of Jonah, and you'll find out that he was in hell. He defied God. He turned against God. And God said, okay, we're going to see how you like this. And when he was through with that, he had a change of mind. Read it and you'll see that Jonah was a fool. And because of his transgression and because of his iniquity, he was afflicted. And that's what happens to a lot of people. It's because of their foolishness, because of their transgression, because of their iniquities. They are afflicted. God wants us to live a godly, holy life and respect him. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Look at that scripture. Why isn't Jesus coming back yet? Because he is long-suffering. Why do we see all these pedophiles? Why do we hear about those hundreds of thousands of children that are being locked in cages and being misused throughout the world? It's now coming to the top. Why is God not doing something about it? Well, yes, and one day he will definitely doing it. But God is willing that none perish. And it says he is long-suffering to usward. He is willing that none go into the eternal lake of fire. I had a very interesting experience the other day. I was in the morning sitting doing my devotion, and I was praying for my brothers. I heard he had a heart attack and he died. They brought him back to life. I hope he saw something. I was thinking about, of course, the election down in the state. I said, Lord, look at Joe Biden. If you watch him on TV, the guy is dead, basically. He has no coherence. He can't put two sentences together anymore. God, if somehow, even though with all the evil he's done, somehow if you could talk to him, Lord. I was kind of praying for him. Then during the day, I went on YouTube, and I saw a message, the prophecies of Joe Biden. So I went on, and this old guy, he said, I had a dream, very vivid dream. I was in this room with Joe Biden. Think about this. I was in this room with Joe Biden, and I asked God to pray for him. And God very reluctantly allowed me to pray for him. But when I prayed for him, I couldn't get the word president out. He wouldn't hear, he wouldn't allow me. And then I opened my eyes, and Joe Biden was looking around, not for prayer, but for a photo op. Very, very interesting, just for a photo op. That man has crossed over a line somewhere, and there is hard, I don't think there's any hope for the person anymore. Somehow I believe that. And that was my answer. Shall I pray for Joe Biden? Leave him alone. Leave him to God, and that's it. The Lord is not slack, but he knows exactly who will turn to him. I want to show you a scripture in Isaiah chapter 1 in verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be wool. That's God talking to us. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Very simple. If you turn to Christ, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. That's not only the sword, you shall be devoured by Satan himself. Think about it. God says, though your sins be as scarlet, let's reason together. Who am I, God, that God wants to reason with me? I am his creation. He loves me. That's why he wants to reason with me. And even though my sins will be as scarlet, they shall become like snow. It is because I have decided to follow God. And for those who don't, they will be devoured by Satan. That is exactly how it works. There is no other God besides God. You cannot look for anything else for salvation except his salvation. And that's how it's going to stay. We need to understand that. For God is not mocked. Whatsoever anybody sows, that shall he also reap. We've seen it throughout history, and we're seeing it again. So the question is, we see all the evil. We see what's going on. We see the abortions. We see the homosexuality. We see all the horrible sin that is going on around us. Why is not God judging us? Why is God not judging the Americans? Why is he not judging them? That's the question many preachers have asked themselves. They have said, they've made the statement, if God doesn't judge America, then he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. The grace of God is now. I'll tell you why he doesn't judge America. I'll tell you why he doesn't judge Canada. Listen to Isaiah chapter 1 in verse 9. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a small remnant. Very small remnant. We should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Think about that. What's keeping back the evil on this earth? The small remnant. What kept the evil back in Sodom? There was nobody there. God challenged Abraham, if I'd find 10 there, and Abraham had to be silent, there weren't any 10. What's keeping America? What's keeping Canada? The small remnant that God has chosen to stand in the gap, to keep back the evil. And the Bible very clearly teaches the evil will be kept back until the one that's holding it back will be taken out of the way. Then shall the wicked one be revealed. Do you know why now we're not being judged? It is prophesied in the word of God. We, the remnant, the salt of the earth, are keeping back the evil. God has left us a remnant by the grace of God. Who is that remnant? Me, you, you in the pulpits, those who are listening, who are Christians, those who are standing in the gap, they're the remnant. We're the ones that are crying and pleading with God for our loved ones. We're keeping back the evil. And one day, something will happen. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed. And then, that's when the wicked one will be revealed. And that's when all hell will break loose on this earth. If we think coronavirus was a problem, if we think masks was a problem, we have no idea what a problem is until you start reading revelations on what's happening during those 7 horrible years. We don't want to be here when that happens. We want to be in the glories of God. But we have the choice to make. Those of you who are listening through this, through the internet, through this program, you have a choice to make. One day, this dispensation of time will be over and God's judgment will come down on this earth. There's not going to be any salt anymore to keep back the evil. The salt will have been removed, and then you will have to suffer the consequences of your choice. And the tribulation is just a small picnic compared to the eternal lake of fire that is waiting for those who reject this almighty God, who extends his goodness, who wants you to come to him because he loves you. So this is what God has laid on my heart today. We need to stand in the gap. Never mind bury our heads in the sand and hoping that everything will go away. We need to pray. We need to seek God for our loved ones. We need to pray for our governments that God will remove the idiots that are destroying this country and bring in good government. But most of all, we need to pray like it teaches us in Revelation in the last chapter. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Hallelujah, Lord. Come quickly, because we are getting very, very homesick. So let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing to yourself. Amen. Hallelujah.
The blessed Savior calling the oppressed. Oh, ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry, I your load will bear. Bring me every burden, bring me every care. Come unto me. Wandering here and there, dragging chains of doubt and loaded down with care. Do unholy feelings struggle in your breast? Bring your case to Jesus, he will give you rest. Come unto me. And I is easy and my burden
Have you by temptation often conquered been? Has a sense of weakness brought distress within? Christ will sanctify you if you claim his best. In the Holy Spirit he will give you rest. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my might. Come, my yoke is easy.